Welcome and good evening. Welcome to Proctor's and welcome to the Gazette's annual candidate forum. It's a nice tradition that we've had going on 15-something years where we pick one race locally that we think is going to be of interest to the community, to the Gazette readership, and we invite everybody to come to the debate or to the forum. Want to give a special thanks to Proctor's for this great venue. GD Theater is such a fabulous spot. Also want to give a thanks to my leadership at the Gazette, in particular my boss Judy Patrick, the editor of the Gazette, is here at the, she's going to be our official timer tonight. So Judy, thank you for supporting everything that we do, community coverage, etc. So thanks again for coming. I want to give a real big special thanks to all the candidates who agreed to come. One of the six candidates, John Mudavaren, couldn't come. He had a business obligation he had to attend to, but thank you very much to the five candidates who are here. There are six of them seeking three seats on the council this year, so it's going to be an interesting year. There's a lot of exciting things going on in Schenectady, as we all know, but there's ongoing debate about various issues. Some of the issues I know that we're going to be talking about tonight involve taxes and various quality of life issues, so you'll enjoy some of that give and take. And finally, I just want to thank our panel of reporters way down there. I feel like it's like a 100-yard toss down there. On the left, my colleague Brett Samuels, who covers City Hall. Brett, thank you. In the middle, Reed Shepard from WGY. He just needs to talk and you recognize his voice. And next to him, a similar thing, Lucas Willard from WAMC, two familiar voices. So thank you guys for joining us. So before we get going and let the candidates do their openings, I'll just ask a couple of questions. How many Minnesota Twins fans do we have here tonight? How many Yankees fans? I thought there would be a few. So we'll get going as quickly as we can. So maybe you guys can get to your favorite bar in town and get maybe the fourth inning, fifth inning. So we'll jump right into it. So the format will be this, is the candidates all get a 90-second introduction opening statement, and then we will jump right into the questions from the journalists. We will rotate as we're going. The journalists all get a chance to ask a question, then we go back through it, and the candidates also get to answer the questions, and we'll stagger how we start them. I'll give you a prompt to keep track of it. If at any point anybody has a question, candidates or reporters, please ask that. So what we're going to do is we're going to start, as I said, with our opening statements, and we'll start at right here with Damani Farley.
Okay. Thank you. So first and foremost, I'd like to thank Proctor's for hosting this event. My name is Damani Farley. I'm a lifelong Schenectady resident. I've worked in the human service field in Schenectady in one capacity or another for about 15 years now. I am married with two wonderful sons and a beautiful wife. And for me, you know, I was pretty intentional about not necessarily preparing an open or closing statement because my limited experience in politics at our last forum, there was a lot of similarity between myself and the candidates when we talk about issues and thoughts that we have for our great city. And I think that for me, it's going to be more about not so much what we say, but what we do and what we have demonstrated over the years of being involved in our great city. My platform issues are having an inclusive economy, one that is kind of all boats rise with the tide here. Schenectady is on an economic bubble, if you will, or really on an uptick, I should say. And I think that what we want to do is make sure that everyone from all walks of life in all of our neighborhoods, because that's the backbone of our city is our neighborhoods, that we get to feel and enjoy that economic boom as well. I concentrate mostly on neighborhoods because we need safer, strong, robust neighborhoods, thriving neighborhoods in order to have a thriving city. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Farley. Rima Cerrone, you have 90 seconds.
I would like to start out by thanking Miles Reed for inviting me to this event hosted by the Daily Gazette. We have every reason to be excited about some of the things happening in Schenectady. This great and historic city seems to have a new look each month. While we are excited about these positive changes, vast sections of the city and its residents are in decline. While some blighted properties are being addressed, thousands of homes and businesses are neglected or destroyed. For decades, a single party has made decisions on the directions of this city. It is time to have new faces on the council to review those decisions. While I will never pretend to have all the answers, I promise all of you to ask new questions. It is vital for me to let you know something about myself, which I feel provide me with the tools necessary to ask those questions on your behalf. I have worked for Albany County Airport Authority's office for 20 plus years as budget and performance manager. I am heavily involved in the community through Schenectady Neighborhood Watch, Schenectady Neighborhood Association, and Team Schenectady, the anti-drug task force. I am also public relations and a state treasury manager for American Bikers Aimed Toward Education, New York, and treasurer for my local chapter. I am also very active with our veterans and attend many events such as fundraisers, Honor Flights to Washington, and Stars for Our Troops. With my work experience and life experiences, I can make positive change As a single mother, I have had to struggle with all the challenges of raising a family in the last few decades on my own.
Thank you, Rima. Mohammed Hafez, you have 90 seconds.
Thank you. I would like to first thank Proctors and the Daily Gazette for this opportunity. My name is Mohammed Hafez, and I live in Schenectady for 14 years. I own several properties in the city, and I'm also a business owner. I own Crane Insurance business. I am a registered Democrat, and I'm endorsed by the Republican, Reform, and Green parties. I have two master's degrees from Stony Brook University and St. John's, majoring in mathematics and management science. I thought I'll give you a little bit of my background. I was the president of the Mount Pleasant Neighborhood Association for 2 years, during which time we've received two awards from the City Council for programs that I have implemented and have engaged a lot of volunteers. Poor leadership is driving good property owners out of Schenectady. Hundreds of property have been abandoned because owners are unable to pay their high property taxes. Unlike other cities and towns, homeowners in Schenectady are forced to abandon their property because of the high taxes, and also because the overzealous code enforcement officers, and because of the increase in taxes and crime. City officials don't have the best interests of the people in their heart. They care more about the developer interests rather than the city resident interests. City official promised us serious reduction in property taxes, and all we're getting is a measly 1% this year.
Thank you, Mr. Hafez. Marianne Porterfield, you have 90 seconds.
Good evening. I'd like to first of all thank the Gazette for having this forum and for the Proctors for providing this space. I've been on the council for 5.5 years, elected first of all in 2012 and then again in 2013. I come from a community activist background. I used to come to council meetings and saw it necessary to have a community voice on the council. I believe my presence on the council has brought the opportunity to have new perspectives and to learn sometimes from new and sometimes uncomfortable angles. As a resident of Schenectady since childhood, I have been very involved in the community for many years. Additionally, with my training through NeighborWorks America, it's helped me to prepare to serve in this capacity. I continue to be involved in the community, including being a muse in the school through the Working Group on Girls. I feel it's important that our governing body represent the city we serve, including diversity in thoughts, ideals, skills, and overall background. During my time on the council, we have seen major improvements in the city, including a new train station, which is currently under being built, investments in our park, and beginning to see more improvements in our neighborhoods, which is extremely important to residents and to me as well. I currently serve as chair of the Health and Recreation Committee, working with the Recreation Advisory Commission on park improvements. I was very instrumental in getting a full-time affirmative action manager to help minorities and women increase opportunity employments and also low-income residents so that everyone is included in the
Thank you, Ms. Porterfield. We've come to the point now where this is the moment I dreaded most for the last week is pronouncing this candidate's name. Karen Zalewski Wild-Zunis, and that's the best I can do, I feel. But thank you for joining us, Karen.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Karen Zalewski Wild-Zunis, and I'm also known as Karen ZW. I'm going to thank the Gazette for hosting tonight's forum. As a single mom, I moved to Schenectady from the Washington, D.C. area over 25 years ago. As a single mom, I wanted to raise my children in a community that was going to be a great place for them to grow and thrive. I chose Schenectady, and it was the right choice. This is a wonderful community. I have promoted Schenectady for years, when it wasn't even popular to do so. I've been involved in numerous organizations throughout Schenectady. I've been a Girl Scout leader, Cub Scout leader. I've been committee member for the Schenectady County Community College and My Side Gallus. I've served on numerous boards, including Northeast Parent, Mohawk Pathways, the Downtown Schenectady Improvement Corporation, Schenectady County Chamber, and Capital Region Chamber. I currently sit as on the Metroplex board, and I serve as treasurer. And I've been a Rotarian for over 25 years. With my professional background, it includes a 35-year banking career focusing on commercial lending, helping business owners grow and expand their businesses. I'm a commercial real estate agent with Berkshire Hathaway, assisting business owners and investors with their commercial real estate needs. I've only been on the council a few short months, but in that time, I feel I've made a difference. For example, we as a team have taken a good approach on selling foreclosed properties and putting them back on the tax rolls. We have over $1.2 million in properties sold just this year. We're focused on making neighborhoods better with the revitalization in Hamilton Hill, Eastern Avenue, and next is Mount Pleasant. I look forward to continuing to be part of the progress along with the rest of the council team.
Thank you, Karen. So we'll shift right to the questions. We're going to start with Brett Samuels of the Gazette. He'll pose the question, and then we'll go through the list, and every candidate, starting with Karen, moving down, will have 60 seconds.
At first.
Okay. Thank you all for being here tonight. So to start out, each of the candidates has expressed at one time or another that the high property tax rate is an issue that they'd like to focus on. So the first question is, what solution would you propose or bring to the table if elected to lower property taxes in Schenectady?
Well, one of the solutions is the development down at the harbor and all of the new businesses that have been moving into Schenectady. I think the mayor's proposed a good budget. We haven't gone all the way through it yet, but with the environment that we're in, a 1% tax decrease is direct reflection of the numbers that are coming in from the casino revenue. And this isn't even a full year, which is, I think they opened in February, so we have a partial year on the casino revenues. And I believe that we'll see more revenues, not only from the casinos, but there's going to be tax increase with all the retail development that's coming into the Harbor Project. And overall, I think we need to, continue to sell those foreclosed properties and get them back on the tax rolls. As we put those properties back on the tax rolls, it'll increase the value and it'll make the neighborhoods much better. A rising tide raises all ships, and I think that's the direction we're headed in.
Thank you, Karen. Marion, 60 seconds.
Yes. I also have to say that with our continued economic development, we can lower taxes. And in addition to that, increasing employment for our residents who can then become homeowners, and homeownership stabilizes our neighborhoods and allows people to pay taxes. And not only that, to also to be able to contribute to the overall community. As you can see, our neighborhoods are improving in terms of, I'll speak specifically for the affordable housing that has come into to the Hamilton Hill neighborhood, Joseph Allen Apartments. Also, there's Live in Schenectady, which has increased, improved our situation here, which also lowers taxes, and also the Community Builders Project. In addition to that, we work with our school district in order to help them get more money from the state, because a major part of our tax bill is our school district. For them to get more money would have the opportunity for us to lower taxes for everyone throughout the city.
Thank you, Marion. Muhammad, you have 60 seconds.
Well, I don't know what these two council people are talking about. She's talking about 10% tax decrease. We only got 1% this year. She's talking about development in Hamilton Hill. They build this apartment complex at $300,000 an apartment. When are they going to recover this money? And the affordable rent, there was an article just in the Gazette the other day, it's $600 rental when somebody is making $750 a month. So what's affordable there? And why using $300,000 to build an apartment when for the millions you have received for that grant, you could have revived the whole neighborhood? What we need is shared services. We need a shared service plan with the county or other municipality to really reduce property taxes. What we need is new ethnic communities to move in here to build or renovate these properties that the city is giving away to realtors that are, you know, selling for, you know, premium price, and then they require them to renovate for upside.
Thank you, okay. Mohammed. Rima, you have 60 seconds to respond.
Our property values have gone down while our taxes remain high. We need to evaluate all sources of revenues and expenses. Many things affect our taxes, such as government employees, schools, the city, programs, and infrastructure, et cetera. excuse me. The trickle effect is it affects our rent for tenants in the area, and affordable houses go down the drain. That's good.
Thank you, Rima. Damani, you have 60 seconds. And you, candidates, you don't have to take the full 60 seconds. You can end early if you want. We'll just move along. So,
can I borrow her extra 10? No.
You'll be assessed a tax levy on it. So.
Okay. So when we talk about lowering house, the property tax in Schenectady, as leaders, we have to not just look at cost, but we have to look at total cost, okay? And though we are seeing some great economic improvements in our city, the numbers tell the story, but the numbers don't tell the entire story. So when I hear our council talk about the good things that's happening in the city, I agree. However, we have to be not afraid of better. That's the mindset that we have to have. So when we have developments going up in our neighborhoods, increasing property values in our neighborhoods, the thing is, these developments are receiving federal money. And when you receive federal money, these developments are supposed to meet their Section 3 requirements. And the most basic thing, that means that you're hiring people from the neighborhood to be employed on these projects. And so what's happening is that when you fail to do that, when we're not meeting the Section 3 requirement, meaning that we're not hiring people and employing people in the city, sure that we're providing jobs and we're raising property values in the neighborhood, but those dollars leave our economy super fast.
Thank you, Damani. Next question comes from Reed Shepherd, and the first person to respond will be Marion Porterfield.
Okay, thank you. First of all, I'd like to thank Miles for inviting me to be a part of this, and looking forward to hearing what all the candidates have to say this evening. My question has to deal with public safety. Not too long ago, all of us in this room, myself included, my colleagues included as well, lost a very good friend. I lost a very trusted friend with the passing of Wayne Bennett, city's public safety commissioner. Since that time, Mayor McCarthy has included money for a new public safety commissioner in the city's budget, even as this issue is under judicial review. My question is, should the city hire a new public safety commissioner? Does the city need to hire a new public safety commissioner? Or do we just allow the police chief and fire chief to run their departments and reallocate the money that Mayor McCarthy has put in the budget for the commissioner, reallocate that money back to the police department and the fire department?
Okay, so and let me just acknowledge also Wayne Bennett for the wonderful work that he did here. As you said, it is in the budget, and as we're looking through the budget, we will also consider what the police department and the fire department are coming to say to us. Should the money be reallocated to those departments? I feel that the public safety position was extremely important to our community and also helped to lower the crime rate. The person that was in that position did a very good job with that. So I think considering that before we just write it out of the budget, we really need to consider what things are now in our community and whether or not we need to keep that position. That is something as a council we would discuss and make sure that because more than anything, the safety of our citizens are a major concern. And in our neighborhoods, that's one thing. People want to feel safe, and they need to feel safe in their neighborhoods. So whatever it is we need to do, if we need to keep that position, then we should, to make sure that people in our neighborhoods are safe and the police department is able to do the job. Thank you.
Thank you, Marion. Mohammed, you have 60 seconds.
Yeah, the late commissioner was a great person. He did a great job. But now that he's gone, I believe the two chiefs could do a good job. We should reallocate the money to their departments. We should focus on programs that were implemented In the past with the police department, like community policing and looking at hot spots, I recall the prior chief of police, Brian Kilcullen, has looked at the hotspot programs and the technology, using technology in his department. So I think it, reallocating the money would be a good idea, for especially for the police department. Also, especially that we need some police station or a satellite police station in neighborhoods like Mount Pleasant and Hamilton Hill. We desperately need a police presence on Crane Street and Hamilton Hill, especially on Albany Street. And I think the allocation of money will serve that purpose.
Thank you, Mohammed. Rima, you have 60 seconds.
Well, if I was on City Council now, I would actually evaluate what the difference is to have the police commissioner or not to have a police commissioner. I don't know what all his specific job duties were, but I'm assuming that if we have our fire chief and our police chief both can do ample jobs, I would have to weigh it in. That's a question that I can't give you a full answer to because I have not been involved in that process. I would have to see for myself what his actual performance was and what the difference is not having one now currently. Thank you.
Thank you, Rima. Damani, 60 seconds.
Sure. So I think what we have to do when we're talking about public safety, I think we're remiss to not include the public in the conversation. I think leaders often overlook the very necessary need to include the community in the conversation. I think that's something that we have to get away from, making plans for people instead of making plans with them. In my humble opinion, I would like to see funds reallocated to a more community policing model. We have the great fortune of not have to come up with all the great ideas ourselves. We can look across the nation and look at similar municipalities and see that the community policing model is you get a great return on your investment. When people are more familiar with a law enforcement, you build that camaraderie with them. The first time that you talk to a police officer shouldn't be in the midst of a crisis. And unfortunately, in our city, that happens often. So I would like to see the funds reallocated to a community policing model.
Thank you, Damani. And the final candidate for this round, Karen.
Thank you. Commissioner Bennett did a fine job, and he is truly missed. He was a great leader in our community, and he was a great leader for the fire and the police department and for the city in general. I think he did a lot more than his job function was. I think it's going to be a very difficult position to fill. I think we need to look at dollars and cents and see if we have the leadership here in the city to move forward and see if we still need that position. I think it's too soon to tell right now whether that's something we should be eliminating at this point in time. Like I said, he did a fine job. He did a lot more than, you know, lead just the police and the fire department. He oversaw a lot and did a great job.
Thanks, Karen. Next question comes from Lucas Willard, WMC, and Mohammed Hafez is the first answer.
What is your strategy toward addressing homelessness in Schenectady?
dreadful turn of... Well, homelessness is a problem, and sometimes it's because people do not have enough income to afford having affordable housing. And there should be more affordable housing programs. Some people are, you know, I've seen homeless that are actually veterans of certain wars, and we should connect these people with the veterans programs. There are also people that are down on their luck. The one time they've owned properties and they had good jobs, and once the job is gone, they lose their property because of the taxes. We should definitely have programs to address homelessness. whether, you know, the cause of it is the economic downturn or basically a lack of skills for with certain people, by which we provide them certain training, especially in, thank you.
Thank you, Mahavan. Rima, 60 seconds.
There are many different reasons why people are homeless. They're homeless because they're mentally ill. They're homeless because they've lost their jobs. They're homeless because they actually really want to be homeless. There's many different reasons. I think that we have to insert more programs for training people for the ones that lose their jobs, so that way they can actually go out into the workforce and have jobs where they can afford to take care of their families and keep their homes. There are many nice programs in Schenectady I've become aware of. We need to learn how to bring them all together to help a person step by step to lead them in the right direction so that way they can become not homeless, whether it's through education or maybe they just need a little assistance to jumpstart them.
Thank you, Rima. Damani, 60 seconds.
Sure. First, I would start with education and awareness, and that's just not of the citizens, but also of our leadership. Because if we're not careful, we start to make assumptions that people are homeless because they're out of work, or they're lazy, or they're unfit to work. And you know, being somebody who's worked in human service fields for the last 15 years, the homelessness in Schenectady is not just a thing. It's not an idea. It's not just a number. You know, I put faces to the problem. I've worked with people who've been in that situation, hardworking people who have been in that situation. So if we're going to deal with the homelessness issue, first we need to fully understand the very many reasons why people end up in that situation. And a couple key things that come to my mind right off the top is dealing with these absentee landlords who allow people to live in, you know, subpar conditions and violate tenants' rights. So we need to be strong about not just our programs, because we do have a lot of programs, but we don't have a lot of great results.
Thank you, Damani. Karen, 60 seconds.
Thanks. You are correct. There's numerous reasons why people are homeless. It could be mental health. It could be the horrible opiate addiction with drugs. It could be that, you know, they lack training to get a job. I think that there's some great programs in place now. I think. You know, the governor has looked at the drug issues, and there's programming that's going to be coming, and it goes across all social and economic backgrounds. So I know it affects the homeless much worse than it does the kid living in Niskayuna or the individual living in Niskayuna. But I think we need to start with our youth, and we have a great summer youth program. It's a great way to get children and young adults focused on work and where they're going to end up, and I think there's great training programs already throughout the city with Work and SEAT, and I think that's a great direction for us to continue to go in.
And finally, Marianne, 60 seconds.
Well, there are numerous reasons why people are homeless. Some of it's driven by low income. Some of it's driven by mental illness. So there's various reasons. And as has been said, the city of Schenectady does have numerous programs for people who are homeless. I think part of what we need to do is, first of all, make sure that people are able to have gainful employment and earn a livable wage so they do not become homeless. I've actually seen people who, just because they couldn't pay the rent, had to move from one place to another and ultimately ended up homeless. So it's important that we have housing that people can live in that they can afford. It was stated that $600 is a high rent, it's not affordable, but $600 is basically kind of what the rent is. It's probably on the lower end of some rents that I've heard of in Schenectady. So we have to make sure that people are employed so that they can pay their rent. If it's a mental health issue, make sure that they have the services or someone to help assist them with that so that they continue to pay their rent. And as I mentioned earlier, Joseph Allen is one of those apartments that will do that.
Thank you, Marion. We're back to Brett Samuels for a question, and Rima will take the first try.
Right. So much of the, as many of you have noticed or noted, in Schenectady in the last few years, there's been a bit of a rebirth and a lot of development going on. But much of that has been concentrated downtown, and Many residents in the neighborhoods express that they feel either the development has not spread to their neighborhood or they feel neglected when it comes to funding and development. So my question is, what specifically would you do to ensure that neighborhoods are not neglected and that residents who live outside of downtown receive their fair share of attention and development?
Well, first I would have to analyze how the funds are being distributed and why the funds are being distributed wherever they're being distributed to build up certain communities and so forth while others are being neglected. There are a lot of blighted houses in every single neighborhood. I've been doing a lot of walking. I've never seen so many vacant houses in certain areas as I have recently. We need to work with the bankers on mortgages to make sure certain houses don't remain vacant for so long. It needs to be shortened. I have, for instance, one house on my street that's been vacant for almost 5 years now, and it's just falling apart. The kids are breaking into it, blah, blah, blah. And I know there's other neighborhoods that have the same issue as I'm walking and communicating with residents of Schenectady. And we need to stop that.
Thank you, Rima. Damani, 60 seconds.
Sure. I think that this is one of the situations where it's almost that we don't need new rules. We just need to make sure that people, you know, our oversight is correct and proper to make sure we are enforcing the rules that exist. So I say that to say this. So when you have these buildings and structures going up, I'm a member of the city's Affirmative Action Board, and our last report from our Affirmative Action Officer, he said that all of these buildings that we see that are receiving federal money, zero of them have met their Section 3 requirement. I harp on that because what that's saying is that we are making investments in our city, however, we are not being inclusive of the people that live here. If you want to make sure that people feel the economic boom and be a part of a growing economy, one way to do that is providing them with gainful employment. And by the way, that's not our idea. The federal government says you must do that. And we failed to do that.
Thank you, Damani. Karen, 60 seconds.
Thanks. As you look around the city, we've started to work on the neighborhoods. Upper Union Street's been renovated, redone. Eastern Avenue, if you haven't been down Eastern Avenue lately, take a ride down there. It's phenomenal, the transformation that's happened there. The new library on State Street, setting all kinds of records. It's been a great catalyst for the whole neighborhood. I think the next neighborhood that the big focus is going to be on is Mount Pleasant. We have a new library going into Mount Pleasant that's going to be a catalyst for the redevelopment. Working on getting a Main Street grant so that the business owners will be able to take their troubled buildings with some help, with some grant funding, and have their buildings be, you know, looking beautiful. I think that everything takes time. I know everybody wants it done yesterday, and I want it done yesterday, but we have to be realistic with expectations, and I think that as you see the redevelopment that comes through, you'll be happy.
Thank you, Karen. Marion, 60 seconds.
Yes, and I have to tell you that I was one of those people that was saying, everything's downtown. But things are improving and things are being done in the neighborhood. I've talked to you about the new improvements that things are happening in Hamilton Hill. Let me also mention that on Eastern Avenue, there's renovation going on there, and people are taking over buildings and renovating them and having a place for people to live. In addition to that, we're demolishing properties. We demolished a total of 85 properties. And the reason I mention that is because a lot of the neighborhoods, as you heard, just have a lot of blighted properties. So in order to improve the neighborhoods, because we're a city that was built for a larger population than we currently have because GE is no longer here. So a lot of the houses have been torn down and will create either green spaces or people will consolidate lots. So there are things that are beginning to happen in the neighborhoods. Downtown was stabilized first, and I better understand that now, but things are now starting to move out into the neighborhoods.
Thank you, Marion. Mohammed, 60 seconds.
Perhaps I misunderstood the question. The question was asked about the unfair treatment of neighborhoods over spending money in other neighborhoods. these council people were answering a whole different question. The question comes down to fairness. Some neighborhoods are not getting their fair share of funds, development, and city services. And it's obvious. Go down Crane Street, drive down Crane Street, and go down Upper Union Street. You see a huge difference. Drive down Albany Street and go downtown. You see a huge difference. And that's because of the neglect, intentional neglect, of some city administrators to certain neighborhoods. They're not spending a fair share in certain neighborhoods while they do in other neighborhoods. Now they're spending a lot of money down in Mohawk Harbor. When it came to the casino, they never signed an agreement for the casino to pay their own expenses of infrastructure costs.
Thank you, Mohammed.
I wish I had more time.
Move next to Reed Shepherd with the next question.
Okay, well, continuing on the topic of the casino, as a matter of fact, I think it's safe to say right now that the casino is the new elephant in the room when it comes to the city of Schenectady. The revenues from the casino have allowed the city budget to contain a 1% tax cut for the residents of Schenectady. However, the casino is not meeting initial revenue projections, and given the state of the gaming industry as a whole, my question is very simple. Should the city put as many of its apples as it is putting into this one basket?
Damani, you're first.
So, as it relates to the casino, I think that, well, again, we have to look at not just the cost of something. As leaders, we have to look at the total cost of something. And I think that even though I had my fair share of concerns of more of the quality of life issues that we would have to endure hosting a casino here in our city, the reports have been, to me, quite fair. And I think that when I walk through the casino and I see people, a diverse group of people gainfully employed, providing for their families, I say, yeah, absolutely. I think that we need to be very intentional about our oversight of such things and making sure that the casino understands that you are a guest here and you have to make sure that you continue to be that economic driver that we need. So I'm not...
Thank you, Damani.
Sorry about that.
I'm going to borrow those 5 seconds back. Next up is Karen. Thank you.
So it's a harbor project. The casino was part of it. There's many other elements to it. There's several hotels. There's apartments. There's office buildings. There's retail space. And there's a harbor. Yes, the casino has not met its expectations, but... usually it takes up to 3 years. I think they might have been a little aggressive with their projections, but usually when you're looking at a business plan, it takes about 3 years to stabilize. So from my standpoint, it's not where it needs to be, but it's certainly moving in the right direction. But it's not the only thing that's going on in Schenectady either. We have a beautiful harbor. I don't know if anyone's driven down there to see. There's going to be a 50. There's 50 boats able to park down there, along with the. We're getting Druthers. I'm sure there's going to be some announcements of some additional retail space coming. So you have to look at the entire project.
Thank you, Karen. Marion, you have 60 seconds.
Just have to probably start out by saying that you probably know that when I'm on the council, I voted no to the casino because I wasn't sure that this was really something that for some of the social issues that was for our community. Not that I'm necessarily against casinos, but just where it's situated. But having said that, I must also say that I supported people who wanted to work there so that they could make an income and support their families. And as Karen has said, in addition to the casino, there's the major harbor development, which I fully support because there's retail coming in, there are hotels where people will be able to work coming in. So I don't necessarily see it as all eggs being in one basket because of the other development that has gone on around the casino. I see that development increasing. There are jobs, not only construction jobs, but also people being able to work there. So I see that economic development and our revenue will be able to increase as a result of that.
Thank you, Marion. Mohammed?
Again, these guys are answering the wrong question. The question was specifically about the casino. It's not about the harbor. Okay, we have no...
particularly myself, because I was a leading voice questioning the wisdom of the casino. I had no quarrel with the development of Mohawk Harbor. No problem whatsoever. It's that casino piece that we have a problem with. Casino was never thought of, you know, the decision-making process was never thought of it, you know, properly. They never really signed a host community agreement with that casino developer. They never looked at the social and economic impact of the casino. Suffice to say that they never ordered a economic and impact report for a project of this size, you know, whether the council or the mayor himself. They never did. They relied on the report supplied by the casino developer, which mentioned nothing about negative impacts. You know, casinos or gambling by definition will spread three things: addiction, poverty, and crime. Nobody ever looked at
Rima, you have 60 seconds.
Well, the best part about the casino, I think, is that the riverfront is all cleaned up. The other part, with the casino not making as many revenues as was anticipated, and hopefully it does. Usually casinos, after a certain year period, go downhill. Usually there's an uprise in the beginning. But you're building all these hotels and stuff with anticipation that you're going to fill up these hotels when the casino itself is not making as many revenues as anticipated. And the jobs, I agree. That's a good thing, except they do have, I think, a very high turnover rate, which I believe I read was 45%, which concerns me. So that means the jobs there at the casino aren't exactly the most stable jobs. I'm not sure how I would do it differently. I would have to actually do a lot of research and check to see.
Thank you, Rima. We move next to Lucas Willard with a question.
Are there any particular programs in Schenectady, picking one, that is working well that could either be strengthened or a program that could be introduced to address a specific problem?
Karen, you start.
I think that that the youth employment program that we have has been very successful, and we've committed more funds to that going into next year, and I think that's, you know, we have to take care of our kids, and I think that's a great program that can be expanded on. I also, just to mention the senior center, we have a senior center coming into the Woodlawn area, which is going to open up in November 14th, and I think as long as we take care of our seniors and our youth, I think, you know, the community will be stronger. So I think those are the two programs that we have that I think will, you know, help grow and continue Schenectady in the right direction. Thanks.
Marion, you have 60 seconds.
Well, there are two programs I think of as well. First of all, the SEAT program, which is training center downtown, teaches young people skills in construction. In addition to that, for young people that go into the program that don't have their GED, they can then get their GED. They put them out on construction sites, and with all the construction that's going on here, an opportunity for them to be able to work. I think that's an outstanding program. And there are young people who graduate from that program on a regular basis and are on going on to be successful in life. And so also, many of them remain in our community. The other program is the Working Group on Girls, which works with girls in our schools and throughout the city of Schenectady, meeting with young girls, having role models for them to help them to better prepare themselves for life after they graduate from school, and also to be able just to handle life, the basic things in life right now. Many of our young women need that. We hear about all the things that go on with the young women in our community. So the Working Group on Girls is a program that started, that has grown over the years, and has really helped a lot of young women stabilize their lives and prepare for the future.
Thank you, Marion. Mohammed?
Yeah, Schenectady has a lot of good programs that actually worked in the past, and we should expand on them. Some of these programs obviously relate to the two major issues that we have, which is crime and high property taxes.
one of which is basically providing funds for seniors to stay in their homes. So if they have any trouble, they should give them financial assistance in order for them to keep their homes. Otherwise, we're going to have abandoned properties that, you know, it's not going to look good for the neighborhood. The other programs that I believe the council was involved with and the mayor promoted largely is the home ownership program. Definitely is a good program that we should encourage people to come and move to Schenectady. I like to see a lot more people come in. That's why I'm promoting or advocating for new ethnic groups to come to Schenectady, just like the Guyanese community came to Schenectady and rebuilt Schenectady. Another program that's very good, which is community policing, and that's a good strategy to fight crime in Schenectady.
Thank you, Mohammed. Rima, you have 60 seconds.
Thank you. I've been working with a program called Team Schenectady, and we just joined hands with Breaking Barriers, and we work with Schenectady Neighborhood Watch also. we're working on breaking the stigma on addicts, because every person or family it affects, whether it's a friend or a person in the family or whatever. And it's important to realize that these particular group of people are people just like anybody else, and they want to be productive, and they want to do well in the community. It's a touchy subject for me, but we're coordinating now to work with Schenectady County Coalition also, so that way we can work with people more directly, find the hot spots.
Thank you, Rima. And finally, Damani, for this question.
So, yeah, there are a lot of great programs here in Schenectady. I heard the Seat Center mentioned. I was part of the group who launched this Seat Center. The Working Group on Girls, I was one of the founders of their counterpart, Schenectady Boys Day Out, Youth Enrichment Services. So there's a lot of great programs in Schenectady. However, my concern is that when we invest in the we need to really invest in the solution. A lot of these programs, being that I helped design some of them, are really aimed at kind of fixing or kind of re-engaging youth into pro-social activities and being productive member of society. So my take would be more about the HOMES program. I think that's a great program. However, Schenectady people aren't using it the way it sits now. So we need to start to invest in programs that are proactive and preventative of the problems and some of the social ills that we're facing, not reactive. We need to be more proactive.
Thank you, Damani. We're back to Brett Samuels with a question.
So for those in the audience who don't know, Marion and Karen are currently on the council. And for our other three candidates, this is your first time running for office. So my question for each of you is, if you're an incumbent, what specifically have you accomplished in your time on the council, and why do you believe you deserve another term? And for the other three of you, what would you bring to the council that you believe it needs or that isn't already there if you were elected?
Marion, you're up first.
Okay. Well, as you know, we're seven in number, so the achievements are not mine alone, but in working with other council members, you'll see overall improvements to our parks. As I've spoken about, some improvements in our neighborhoods. There's major economic development in our city. I am the chair of Health and Recreation, and with that, I worked very closely with the Recreation Advisory Commission to do the park improvements, which have started and which continue not just in Central Park, but actually in the parks throughout the city. Additionally, I was extremely instrumental in getting our affirmative action manager hired, because we really needed to see more women, minorities, and Section 3, which is low-income people, get jobs in our city, because it's important to include in the Renaissance. I continue to work with citizens, to listen to citizen concerns, to go to public meetings and bring citizens' concerns back to the city council. I think it's extremely important to have that perspective on the council.
Thank you, Marion. Mohammed?
Yes, if I'm elected, one of the first things I'd like to do is actually bring the oversight role of the city council to the, you know, that's been abandoned by the council member, because a council member is not really an employee of the city. He doesn't have to listen to the mayor or any other person in the county or somewhere else and vote on their decisions that they make for them. The current council has been rubber stamping a lot of decisions that they didn't make themselves. So that's one of the things I like to restore to the council. It's basically, get a council integrity program. The two major problems we have in the city is crime and high property taxes. There are solutions out there. Some have been implemented and some haven't. We should emphasize community policing. We should focus on hotspots like they did in the past.
Thank you, Mohammed.
Okay.
Rima, 60 seconds.
I think what I can bring forth to the City Council is something a little bit different. As Budget and Performance Manager of Albany County Airport Authority's office for 20 plus years, I can bring a heavy finance background. Also, with all the community service I have done throughout the years through most of my life, I'm a good listener. I want to hear what the people have to say, and I want to help them coordinate what their needs are. Each neighborhood has different needs. Also, as a single parent and head of household for a very long time, I know what homeowners needs and what they need to carry on and express on the lower taxes, property values, bringing the communities back together. I would like to see.
Thank you, Rima. Damani, 60 seconds.
Sure. So the Homes Task Force, Affirmative Action, Funding for Schenectady Schools, Schenectady Boys Day Out, the SEAT Center, Schenectady Youth Build. These are all programs that I have worked with, worked in, and volunteered in right now. I say that to say this, not to read my resume off to you, but to say that these are things that you can be a part of, and you don't have to be a city council member in order to do that, because this is who I am. It's not just what I do. And I think that if we're saying that our community engagement and being in touch with the residents of the city of Schenectady is what qualifies us to be a leader, I'm concerned that we're setting the bar a little low. I think that is exactly what's needed. However, you also have to be able to engage people and make plans with people and not for people. And that's what I will do. And that's what has not been done thus far.
Thanks, Damani. And finally, Karen.
So I've been on the council a few short months, not quite a year. And one of the things I'm most proud of is being involved in the property sales. We've sold 65 properties for $1.2 million. A lot of these are owner-occupied properties that are the worst of the worst. They're getting back on the tax rolls, and these properties are something that we can be very proud of. I've seen some of the renovated properties, and they're beautiful. And it's great to see someone take a property and make it their home. So I'm very, very proud of that and proud to be part of the team that made that happen. And I will echo with Marion, the parks. We've had some great success with the parks. The Central Park they've started the Baseball Diamond and Music Haven. This is a crown jewel for the entire city, and it brings people in from all over the capital region. So very, very proud of those two things. And there's more to come, more to come.
Thank you, Karen. Next up, Reed.
Well, there's probably no way to sugarcoat it. Infrastructure is not an interesting issue. It is not something that you're probably going to be going on about in your campaign speeches and your campaign rallies. We hear all the time that it's just not a sexy issue. Until that is, the water main breaks on your street, or you've got raw sewage flowing into one river or another. So my question is, do you feel the city is doing enough to put enough resources into maintaining its infrastructure? This is an old area.
Mm-hmm. Mohammed, you're up first.
Oh, really? I wasn't prepared. Well, Certainly the city is not prepared. Yeah, we do have all infrastructure in the city. And really infrastructure projects are really capital projects. The city budget, I believe, is what, around $88 million. Some project could cost that much. So I think we should start working on, especially with the Trump administration, big announcement about this infrastructure grant to cities and infrastructure projects. That also is opportunity for the city to apply for these grants and offer jobs to local to the locals looking for jobs in the construction business. I noticed Schenectady has a huge team number of people that are versed in the construction business. I'm a landlord myself, and I see people that are very skillful in different kinds of, okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mohammed. Rima, you have 60 seconds.
Our infrastructure is extremely old, and it fails in certain areas. My concern is when you're building these big apartment complexes or whatever, is our current infrastructure gonna hold that larger population in certain areas that we're trying to build up? I'm also concerned about when you redo streets and whatnot, why isn't that done after gas lines are put in? It just needs to be more coordinated. It seems like we're always going backwards instead of going forward unnecessarily.
Thank you, Sharon Garima. Damani, 60 seconds.
So again, I think that's something that falls in the category of not afraid of better, and we need to be not afraid of better of infrastructure for our city. However, talking with the mayor around our Smart City initiative, that's one of the initiatives that that the city's putting forth, where we're really being extremely innovative and looking at the use of technology to better monitor some of maintenance and upkeep, and we can allocate less money and be kind of smarter with our dollars once we make this investment, where we can kind of use the technology to see where the worst potholes are at, to see what city maintenance hasn't been done in a while, and kind of because there's trends in our city, believe it or not. Obviously, if there's a street that people are driving over more, or one of the heavy streets with traffic on it, well, you're going to have more potholes on that street. You're going to have more repairs than needed. So, again, I think that we need to be doing more. I would agree with you that infrastructure is not something that is sexy, I think, as you put it, but it's pretty awesome when you do have that water main leak and the lady shows up
to fix it, has a
good job.
Karen, you have 60 seconds.
Thanks. I think our city engineer, Chris Wallen, has done a fabulous job in looking for ways to get to address some of the infrastructure issues. Erie Boulevard had a 100-plus-year pipe on it, and that has now been replaced, which is why Erie Boulevard was torn up for so long as it was. And that's a direct reflection of Chris Wallen going out and looking for grant funding so that we could get this done. And it was a combination of the city, the county, Metroplex, everybody working together. And I think that's one thing that we should be thankful for, that there's cooperation throughout the municipality to ensure that things like infrastructure are addressed. I think we try to do it smart, and I think the Smart City Initiative is something that's going to help us with that. And I do believe that we're going in the right direction, and infrastructure is not fun.
Thank you, Karen. And finally for this question, Marion.
Yes, we know that our infrastructure is old. As Karen has said, our city engineer does a fabulous job looking for grants, securing grants, just more than looking, securing grants to work to get help with the infrastructure. In addition to that, as we have new construction, the infrastructure is being worked on around this new construction. So during that time, as we get the new construction, it's not just let's leave the old in place, but let's let's fix that infrastructure around the new construction. If you look around the city now and see that new construction, you can see there are just bulldozers and all the other equipment that I may not know the name of that is actually doing work on our infrastructure. So it's also something that we look for and make sure that we put dollars in our capital budget so that we can improve our infrastructure as we go along. And as was said a couple of times about the Smart Cities Initiative, actually taking a look at that and making sure where this work needs to be done and doing it systematically throughout our city.
Thank you, Miriam. Okay, we're going to shift gears now to just some questions that came from the audience. We have a handful here. We should be able to get through three or four if we move swiftly. So I'll ask the question, and the panelists will, or the candidates will answer. We'll start with Rima when I'm ready. So, do you support Schenectady declaring itself a sanctuary city? Rima, you have 60 seconds.
I've had mixed emotions on that. I'm not sure if we can financially be a sanctuary city. I would have to look and see how it would actually affect us financially. What other issues it might bring into, if we need separate programs or more programs, how would it affect the police officers? There is no definitive answer. I need to know how would it affect the actual city of Schenectady. Can we afford to add more people to Schenectady when I hear so many people saying that we can't even afford to take care of the people we have here, which would be a big concern. So I don't have an answer to that.
Thank you, Rima. Damani, you're up next.
I do, yes. A very definitive yes. And initially, I had some concerns about the financial impact that might have on our city. And then looking at it and doing some research, I'm confident that there will be little to none, more likely none, but very little impact financially to our city being a sanctuary city. And I think that this is a question about morals and values. And in a time where our nation is so divided, is so polarized, I think this is a great opportunity for us to demonstrate, to be who we say we are, and say that we are not going to put a dollar before human life. You know, I am doing my consulting work with the Schenectady City School District. I remember walking in the hallways and seeing a young man, a third grader, screaming, crying, because he didn't understand now that Trump is a president. He was saying, well, I think that he's going to take my family away. Our children, our people should not have to live with those type of concerns. Yes, we should be a sanctuary city.
Thank you, Damani. Karen, 60 seconds.
So we're a very welcoming city, and for us to declare ourselves a sanctuary city, I don't think would be prudent. I think that as we look at how the police interact with our community, they don't enforce any immigration laws in the city of Schenectady. I think they do a great job. And speaking with some of the police officers, they've never used it. They've never asked anyone what their immigration status is. I think the thing we need to remember is that ICE can come into our community at any time and do whatever they need to do, and there's absolutely nothing that we as a community or our police department can do to stop that. And I think it would be challenging for us to move towards that direction where it could fiscally hurt us with our grants and all of the development that we've done. I think that we're a very welcoming city.
Thank you, Karen. Marion, 60 seconds.
Certainly. So.
Time's up.
That was quick.
Sorry.
Yes. Did I hear no?
You did not hear no. You heard yes. I believe we should be a sanctuary city. As you know, I put forth legislation for us to become a welcoming city, which some people have a problem with the term sanctuary city. And I think a lot of times people have, based on my conversations, people have a misunderstanding of what that means and feel that there's going to be a major influx of people that have come from someplace else to our city. Not at all. It's just being supportive and taking care of our citizens who already live here. The governor has said that cities cannot get economic sanctions for declaring themselves a sanctuary city. The mayor has said that we already do these things. We don't help ICE. We don't do these things. So for me, for us to be able to just say that we are a welcoming city or whatever term we would use, I certainly support that, to let our residents here know who come from diverse backgrounds and communities and who contribute to our city, to be able to be comfortable living here and not be concerned that someone's going to come any day, knock on the door, take their family away from them.
Thank you, Marion. And finally, Mohammed.
I'm in favor of doing that as long as it's in compliance with the law. Lately, a lot of courts have looked at this issue, and the highest court in Massachusetts just last month, they have ruled in favor of sanctuary cities. In no time in the state of New York, a court will eventually decide on that. I'm not very, you know, haven't read any recent decision. And eventually, maybe after the Massachusetts case, the case will reach the Supreme Court. So it will be a decision made by the court for us, so we don't have struggle over it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mohammed. So we'll move to the next question then, and this one will start, Damani, with you. How can the City Council support the community effort in Hamilton Hill to reopen the Carver Community Center, AKA the Miracle on Craig Street?
Okay. Full disclosure, I'm one of the founders of the Miracle on Craig Street effort, so I'm a fan. I think, again, it's about, you know, you can tell what people care about when you ask them to invest in it. And I think that the City Council not only should, you know, talk about how great it would be to have a robust community center in the heart of Hamilton Hill where it's most needed, I think it's time to take action. Action being, let's allocate funds and say, let's demonstrate our commitment to these neighborhoods that we keep talking about. We're going to make these great investments in quality of life improvements. Well, what other better way to say, let's make a very true and honest investment and monetary investment into our youth and our families that live in a neighborhood that needs it the most, quite frankly. So I would say, absolutely. Let's write a check and let's talk about some sustainability efforts and you know, everybody roll up your sleeves and let's get to the work and stop the talking. That's how we could do that.
Thank you, Damani. Karen, 60 seconds.
So it's unfortunate what happened with the Carver Community Center. And I believe that, unfortunately, that building itself is far beyond repair. And I'm not sure how they would be able to bring that back. I do know that there's other areas there. There's the Boys and Girls Club, and I think that, you know, if there was an opportunity to do something partnering with the Boys and Girls Club, then I think we could make something happen there. And I think collaboration is probably the best solution as far as helping to ensure that there is a community center within the Hamilton Hill.
Thank you, Karen. Marion, you have 60 seconds.
Certainly. And I must also say that when this initiative started out, I was part of that initiative and also a donor to that. So I think that the city could provide some funding to this grassroots organization who is really trying very hard to bring back a community center in a neighborhood that people continually say needs that kind of support. There's more than one way to do that. The city could provide funds for that. But in addition to that, there's a process that works in a lot of cities that when developers come in, you ask the developers to assist in other parts of the city that need some lifting up, so it's not just one side of the city going up while the other remains the same. And so if we could work with our developers and ask and get an agreement with our developers as they come in and develop, that some of that funding also go towards building up communities that need it. And in this instance, that would be the Carver Community Center. It's questionable where the building is right now, but whether it's this building or a new facility for the young people there, I certainly think it's something we should take a very, very hard look at and work towards.
Thanks, Marianne. Mohammed, 60 seconds.
I think the city and council, you know, could probably expedite the process of foreclosing on that property and acquiring the property. At that point, we have to determine. I'm not sure what Karen said, that it's beyond repair. I'm not sure of that, but certainly when the city puts its hands on it, will be determined. If it is beyond repair, obviously something else has to be done. The funds that they collected are still there. It could be transferred to another location, just like the Boys and Girls Club that they have in Mount Pleasant. I too was a very big supporter of the initiative when it started. I also donated money to that project. And I think a community center should be developed for the kids in Hamilton Hill area, whether in that building or somewhere else. Thank you.
Thank you, Mohammed. And Rima?
I think a community center is much needed in Hamilton Hill for a variety of different reasons. And I think that we should really work forward to finding some money to actually make this happen. It's definitely a capital project. I'm not sure how the city handles something like that, but Hamilton Hill needs a place for their children, for single moms, for everybody in the community over there. It's a very much needed asset. Thank you.
Thank you, Rima. For the next question, it's kind of a twofer, and I'll allow it. Please try to answer both if you can. So what is your academic background, and do you have medical coverage, and who pays for it?
Do I have what?
Medical coverage.
I'll repeat it. So what is your academic background, and do you have medical coverage, and who pays for it? Mm-hmm. Karen, you have 60 seconds.
So I have a associate's degree in marketing, and I have numerous accreditations from a banking, commercial lending standpoint, classes I've taken over the course of my career. And I'm sorry, what was it?
So do you have medical coverage?
Yes,
and who pays for
I
it?
Do. And I also, what was it? Yeah.
And who pays for it?
Oh, who pays for it?
Oh. Okay.
So I utilize the city's medical, so I pay for it through the city.
Thank you. Marion, 60 seconds.
Certainly. My academic background, I have high school and some college, in addition to continuing education courses that I continue to take, as I mentioned earlier, not also through Empire State College, as well as through NeighborWorks America, which is important to the work that I do here in the city overall. And do I have medical coverage? Yes, and it's provided through the city.
Thank you, Marion. Mohammed.
Academic background, I am done with classroom education. I've done enough. I have a bachelor's degree from St. John's University in New York, Jamaica, New York. I also have a master's degree in mathematics from the same university, and I also have another master's degree from Stony Brook University down on Long Island. So you can see I spent many, many years being a student, and now I'm a student of life. I do have a lot of skills that I've acquired over the years. I had corporate jobs, and obviously they provide you with a lot of training for skills and additional education, if you will. My medical insurance is covered by me. I pay like $500 a month in medical insurance premium. Thank you.
Thank you, Mohammed. Rima, 60 seconds.
I do have a degree in accounting, and yes, I have insurance, and it's paid for Albany County Airport Authority's office.
Thank you, Rima. Damani.
I'm educated right here in Schenectady, at Schenectady High School. I went on to Schenectady Community College. I have accreditations from University of Albany and culturally responsive community engagement. And yes, I have medical insurance, and I pay for it myself.
Thank you, Damani. Next question. Past candidates have campaigned to improve and pay attention to our neighborhoods, but very little has been accomplished. How and will you improve the quality of life in our neighborhoods, including Mount Pleasant? Marion, okay. Sorry.
All right. Well, part of the ways that to improve the quality of life, I first of all that we should address those the quality of life issues, things like litter. Litter is maybe, some people it's a small thing, but it's really a huge thing in how people treat the community. So in working towards that, in addition, just working with the residents and hearing their concerns, and I have to say that we have campaigned and said about talked about improving the quality of life for neighborhoods, and I do believe that we are seeing some quality of life improvement in our neighborhoods. But we need to address those small things that concern our neighbors. And one of the things is blight in our neighborhoods, which I talked about that we are addressing, and litter in our neighborhoods. And in addition to that, I think part of the quality of life is also our interactions with the people who live there. So we need to make sure that we understand the different diverse cultures that live in our community and how to address them. That goes along with our police department as well as our local officials.
Thank you, Marion. Mohammed?
Yeah, I've been a strong advocate for a fair share of funds and services to our neighborhoods. As I said before, drive down Crane Street or Albany Street, and you'll notice a huge difference between driving down Upper Union Street and downtown, and now the Mohawk Harbor. So first of all, we have to start having, you know, providing a fair share of funds and services and development to areas like Mount Pleasant and Hamilton Hill. I've been a strong advocate of fairness for Mount Pleasant for the past several years. I've been begging the city, county, Metroplex Authority for funds for Crane Street, and before it went down rapidly, I hear now of a grant that they're trying to apply for the Crane Street business trip. However, there's okay.
Thank you, Mohammed. Rima, you have 60 seconds.
I will have to say I've been really enjoying going to the different neighborhoods and the different neighborhood associations and meeting all these people who really love their neighborhoods and address their concerns for each neighborhood. Each neighborhood has a different concern. There is no one better than the actual people who live in these individual neighborhoods that can state what they need in their neighborhoods, whether it be a problem with litter, crime, or whatever. I'm a heavy advocate for my neighborhood association and for Schenectady Neighborhood Watch and for Team Schenectady. And compiled up, I think we can address certain concerns and make better changes through these three different groups to begin with. And I think the City Council should go out into the different neighborhoods to find out what the concerns are for each individual neighborhoods.
Thank you, Rima. Damani, you have 60
seconds.
I'm going
to ask you to repeat that question again.
Sure. I've probably got to take my glasses off. It'll be easier. So past candidates have campaigned to improve and pay attention to our neighborhoods, but very little has been improved. How and will you improve the quality of life in our neighborhoods, including Mount Pleasant?
Okay, so to speak to past candidates and promises made, I think, and that's what I was trying to kind of hint to in my opening statement, if you will, you'll hear a lot of the same rhetoric. You'll hear investing in neighborhoods and jobs and safe communities. You'll hear things, and those are very, very important issues, and there's something that's very easy to say. However, I think I'm going to make a pretty safe assumption that whoever wrote that question is trying to say that, you know, people are saying things, but they're not doing them. And one of the first things we did when we started the Miracle on Craig Street effort is that we went around and we got a petition with over 500 signatures for people who live in that neighborhood and said that this is something that they want. When you have that type of buy-in, it does, and we've also raised over $40,000 and money ourselves. So when you have that type of buy-in, you ask people what they want, and then you work not for them but with them to produce that end product, you see success and you see sustainable success.
Thank you, Damani. And finally, Karen, you have 60 seconds.
So specifically with Mount Pleasant, there is a new library coming. There are 11 blighted properties that are going to be torn down. We're in the process of gathering property owners in Mount Pleasant. We need a core group of at least 10, and I think we're up to 11, that are looking to participate in the Main Street Grant. And what the Main Street Grant does is it gives every dollar that is spent, 75 cents of that dollar is coming from grant funds. So the property owner only needs to put 25 cents for every dollar in. So there's a lot of redevelopment that can happen. So I think you'll see a marked change in the Mount Pleasant area over the next, you know, the next year or so. Thanks.
Thank you, Karen. So we've reached the final stage here. We're going to give everybody 60 seconds to do their closing statement. And we'll start, Rima, with you. And we'll move down that way and end up with Damani. So, Rima, when you're ready, you have 60 seconds.
I ask you for your vote. I will keep your best interests in mind, and I will welcome your ideas and concerns to make our city better. You have a choice at this election. Is the choice to continue the way things have always been or elect leaders who can bring in fresh ideas and perspectives? After all, one-party dominance at any level is generally less desirable than healthy two-party competition. When you do have both parties involved, you open up a dialogue, come up with better solutions, because it forces you to debate with a broader spectrum of city council people sharing different perspectives to enrich conversation. Better solutions will be generated for our city. If elected, I promise to devote my time and talent to my position as your city council representative and make sure your issues and concerns are fully addressed. Thank you.
Thank you, Rima. Mohammed.
I was just starting to warm up, and now you're telling me it's a closing statement. Poor leadership is chasing good property owners out of Schenectady. Hundreds of property have been abandoned because owners are unable to pay the high property taxes and because of the increase in crime. These are the two major issues we have right now, crime and high property taxes. Property owners are driven to abandon their homes. I'm advocating for the following: a fair share of funds and services to each Schenectady neighborhood, satellite police station for neighborhoods that need it, especially Mount Pleasant and Hamilton Hill, programs to assist property owners to stay in their homes and prevent foreclosure, landlord support strategy to prevent the abandonment of properties by offering perhaps training, tax incentive, or even tax relief. Encourage ethnic communities to move to Schenectady to keep the houses they occupy, the houses occupied, and put back on the tax roll. I'm not a politician. I simply care about the city, and I want to protect and improve our quality of life. I'm looking forward to start helping our residents and neighborhood get their fair share of funds, development, and quality of service.
Thank you, Mohammed.
Thank you.
First, again, I'd like to thank the Gazette and Proctors for having this forum tonight. And first of all, ask for your support on November 7th to remain as your council member. I've been an advocate for our residents and our neighborhoods that sometimes have been overlooked. There's a lot of diversity in our neighborhoods, and I would also suggest that perhaps we could have something called implicit bias training, which will help us to better understand all of the different cultures and ethnicities that make up our city, so that we become a place that everyone is able to be able to get along and participate in our community. I heard said that we don't invest in our neighborhoods, but the community development block grant money is money that's developed in our neighborhoods. We're renovating Orchard Park. There are new libraries in Hamilton Hill, as well as in Mount Pleasant. I heard it also said that the current city council has been a rubber stamp. I have to say that I have not been a rubber stamp. It's caused me some problems sometimes, but I continue to speak out because I believe that all voices need to be heard. Thank you.
Thank you, Marion.
Bravo.
Karen, you have 60
Thanks.
Seconds.
I am Karen Zaluski-Wildunas, and I'm looking forward to continuing to serve as your city council representative. As the endorsed candidate for the Democratic, Conservative, Independents, and Women's Equality parties, I'm committed to represent all residents of the city of Schenectady. The city has had significant success and accomplishments. Take a look around downtown. It's alive, it's vibrant. The waterfront has become a model that other communities around the state want to copy. We need to continue to focus on our neighborhoods, eliminate the blight, take down the worst of the worst, and promote home ownership. We need to continue to support our youth and senior programming, like the Mayor's Summer Youth Employment Initiative and the new Senior Center that will be opening on November 14th at the Ancient Order of Hibernians on State Street. We need to continue to cut taxes as homeowners and we need those revenues that are being brought in to give tax relief back to the property owners. With my experiences in the financial services industry and my community involvement, I believe I've become a good asset to the council, and I look forward to working with the city.
Thank you, Karen. And finally, Damani.
Okay. This is not just about our platform issues and the things that we're saying we want to do. Once again, we're going to hear a lot of the same things from everyone up here that's on the panel. And I think that for me, it's less about politics and it's about people. I've invested a lot of my time into bettering the quality of life of the people of Schenectady because it's something that is near and dear to my heart. And if we're talking about all of these great things that we're doing in the city, but the people don't feel them, if the people can't say that my life has gotten better, if the people can't say that my neighborhood is safer, then all we're doing is talking. As we see, I am on a smaller party line now due to some very interesting situations as seeking the Democratic line. But I think that that puts me in a great position because it's not what happens to you, but how you react to it. So I'm going to continue to fight, and on November 7th, I hope you fight with me.
Thank you very much. Thank you all for coming. We're done for tonight. Thank you. And a big thank you to the reporters. Thank you, guys. And especially the candidates and proctors. Thank you.